All right, welcome in, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Okay, so today we're looking into William Cetus.
Oh, wow.
This guy's been called like the smartest man who ever lived.
You're kidding.
No, for real. We found this YouTube video, lays out his whole story, and some of it's pretty wild. By the end of this, I guess we'll see if that title actually holds up, and what we can learn from this guy's, well, unusual life.
I mean, it's more than just like raw intelligence, right? It's this whole question of potential, the pressure that comes with it, and how that can like twist even the brightest mind.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, this guy was reading the New York Times at 2 years old.
Seriously, two.
Yeah, and get this, by seven, he invented his own language.
Whoa.
But the video, it goes into how his parents, they were brilliant themselves, but they were super focused on like cultivating his genius, almost like it was, their own little experiment.
Yeah, it makes you wonder about like where's the line between nurturing and exploitation, right? His dad, Boris, he was this big shot psychologist, and he used all that expertise to like shape William's education. It was all accelerated learning, books, tools, everything. But was it healthy? Was William actually into it, or was his childhood kind of sacrificed for, for intellect?
That's a good question. The video doesn't really show us like young William's feelings, but it does say that at nine, he got accepted to Harvard.
9 years old.
Yep, youngest ever. But even Harvard was like, whoa, hold on, he's not emotionally ready.
Think about that for a sec. Harvard saying someone's not ready.
Right.
And his parents, they fought back hard, went to the media, made it this whole national debate. I can't imagine the pressure on that kid.
Right in the middle of it all.
Exactly. But in the end, they caved, and he started at 11.
11 years old, lecturing adults on the fourth dimension. I mean, I can barely wrap my head around that now.
Right.
He was a total media sensation, but that's got to come with baggage, right? The video even mentions he talked about wanting a perfect life, but in seclusion, even at that young age.
Huh. That's almost like prophetic, isn't it? Was he being serious, wanting to escape the spotlight, or was that like an early warning sign of a mind that's struggling under all that pressure?
It's hard to say. So he graduates Harvard at 16, summa cum laude, obviously. Then he becomes a professor at Rice at 17, even wrote a textbook on Euclidean geometry, but get this, in Greek. And then poof, he leaves after less than a year.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Later, she admitted he was asked to leave Rice, but at the time, he blamed it on like frustration with the department, the students. It seems like his expectations, maybe from all the early success, were just impossible to meet.
So back to Harvard for law school.
Yep. And drops out again after 3 years. This guy could have been anything, but each time something pulled him away.
I don't get it. Was he bored, disillusioned with academia? Or was it just like too much pressure? We need to like really dig into these departures to understand him.
Okay, so now it gets interesting. He does a total 180 and jumps headfirst into political activism, embraces socialism, leads protests, and bam, gets arrested.
Wow, from Harvard to jail. Talk about a change.
Right.
This period, this is crucial for understanding him, I think. Was it a young guy rebelling against like a life that was planned out for him? Or was it a genuine search for, like, meaning something beyond just being smart?
Yeah. And his parents, always in the picture, right? They intervened, got him out of jail, but committed him to their own sanatorium. They even threatened him with like a real asylum if he didn't go back to college.
Jeez, that's intense. Talk about control, right?
No kidding.
So this constant battle between his parents' ambitions and what he actually wanted, it feels like that's what defined a lot of his life.
Definitely a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, a lot to unpack for sure.
Okay, but wait, back up a sec. Black holes, you're saying this guy working like regular jobs, he figured out black holes before anybody else.
Yeah, it's buried in this cosmology book he wrote. Used a fake name, of course. Imagine a mind like that, working on stuff like that, and choosing to keep it quiet. It kind of flips that whole wasted potential thing on its head, doesn't it?
Yeah, because on one hand, you're like, why wouldn't you share that with the world? Right? But then maybe that was the point. Maybe success for him wasn't about getting recognition, but about just like learning for the sake of learning.
Right. Makes you think about how we measure achievement. Was it a waste if he was actually like happy? We tend to connect brilliance with making a big splash, but what if he found something deeper in his own exploration, away from all the noise?
It's wild. It's like he was living two lives, one that was totally normal on purpose, and then this other one, the secret life of the mind, where he's thinking about these like huge complex ideas.
That's what makes his story so interesting, so human. It's not just genius does amazing things kind of thing. It's messy, full of contradictions. He wasn't just a brain, he was a person, dealing with expectations, with society's pressure, maybe even with, like, his own nature.
Okay, but going back to that that political activism, I'm still kind of stuck on that. Was it just him, like, rebelling? Or was there something about, I don't know, socialist ideals that really clicked with him?
I think understanding the time period helps. This is the early 1900s, right? Socialist movements, they were getting bigger, pushing back against inequality, workers being exploited, maybe Cities, who was always an outsider. He saw something in those ideas that reflected his own struggles.
Yeah.
Like being forced into something he wasn't.
It's interesting because you could say his parents, in their own way, were exploiting his smarts. They were shaping him, pushing him towards, you know, their idea of success.
And his activism becomes like this act of defiance, not just against what society thought, but against the people who controlled him for so long. And the fact that he was willing to get arrested, face the consequences, it makes you think he really believed in it.
So it wasn't just acting out, but more like aligning himself with a cause that felt, I don't know, true to him, to his own experience. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Definitely adds another layer to his relationship with his parents. Imagine being them, seeing your son, this brilliant mind you've, you know, raised, suddenly embrace something so radical, so opposite of everything you taught him.
That's got to be rough on both sides. And then to have them commit him to a sanatorium after the arrest, that's a lot.
It shows a level of control that's hard to understand. And we can't know what really happened there, but you have to wonder how that affected him psychologically.
To be punished, basically, for expressing your own beliefs, your own self. It's no wonder he ran away eventually.
And in that escape, that choice to live anonymously, maybe he finally found some peace, a chance to, like, define himself, free from all those expectations and control.
But that brings us back to square one, right? Was that really freedom, or was it a tragedy? Was he content with those jobs, knowing what he was capable of? Or was there a part of him that wanted more?
That's the question, isn't it? Impossible to answer for sure. But what we can do is, like, look at what we know, explore the different sides of his life, and try to understand him as a person, not just a label.
It's funny, right? We started off asking if this guy was really the smartest man ever. But now I'm more interested in, like, him. He wasn't just a walking brain. He was a person, you know, with wants and fears and all that.
Yeah. And those are the things that get lost in those, like, over the top stories. We throw around labels like genius or prodigy, but they kind of flatten them out. You know what I mean? Turn them into this spectacle instead of a real person.
Yeah, exactly. And we forget that being smart doesn't make you, like, immune to life's problems. It might even make things harder. Imagine seeing the world the way he did, understanding things most of us can't even imagine.
It's got to be like you get this incredible tool, this powerful lens, but no instructions on how to use it. The world sees the potential, the sharpness, but not the burden of it, the isolation that can come with it.
And maybe that's what pushed him towards, you know, wanting to be alone, not because he rejected his intelligence, but because he needed a place to just be without the constant pressure, the expectations.
And that's where the whole socialism thing gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it suggests that he wasn't just, like, withdrawing. He was also looking for a connection, a place to belong.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he saw in those ideals, like, a world that valued more than just being smart. A world with compassion, equality, you know.
And maybe that's what he found in those later years, living in New York, off the grid. Not just hiding, but finding a community and a chance to, like, connect with people. This is a regular person, not the genius.
I like that. Even a mind like his still wanted that basic human connection. Right. Even when he chose to stay hidden, he wasn't completely alone.
So that YouTube video, the one that got us started on this whole thing, I think it misses the mark. It focuses on what Cetus didn't do, how he supposedly wasted his potential. But what if that was his success? What if that simple life, those books he wrote with fake names, that was his way of finding peace? His way of living life on his own terms.
That's the challenge, right? To step outside of how we define success and worth. To realize there's so many ways to live a meaningful life. See, as he reminds us that real fulfillment, it doesn't always fit into the boxes we make. It's not always about what you achieve in the eyes of the world.
It makes you think, what would the world be like if we really believed that? If we celebrated not just the brilliant minds on the big stage, but also the people who find their own kind of brilliance, their own way of finding fulfillment.
That's a powerful thought.
Yeah.
And I hope it sticks with you even after this deep dive, because that's what we're trying to do here, right? Spark your curiosity, make you question things, and leave you with more questions than answers.
Because sometimes the best deep dives aren't about finding the answers, but about, like, embracing the mystery, the complexity of it all. And William Cetus, with all his brilliance and contradictions, he was definitely a mystery worth exploring.
He was.
So, until next time, keep those minds open, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.